Warning, the following podcast will contain subject matter that on the surface may appear tame and for everyone. We here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind can assure you that it will not be. You will hear adult language. We will have a complete disregard for your feelings and emotions, and we will have zero restraint on the opinions shared on this show. There will be no safe spaces available for anyone listening. So, if you're one of those individuals offended by literally everything, this is not the fucking show for you.
The last 24 hours have been rough for me, and Impact Management told me it'd be in my best interest to go out of my way to just address what went down last night at Impact on Pop. I hit this man in the face with a baseball bat, and the last 24 hours I've been getting all this hate and all this negativity online, and Impact says, yo, you have to go out of your way to make this right. People are saying we crossed the line. So from the bottom of my heart, I have to tell each and every single one of you, I'm not sorry for a single thing that happened. Look at me and tell me I am not being serious. I do not feel bad. TMZ is messaging and interviewing Eddie Edwards when they should be interviewing me, the most dangerous man in professional wrestling today. Oh yeah, and Jim Cornette, you can kiss my ass too.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, this is your main man, your jackass brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and I am here once again, AJ Orsini, of course, here to bequeath yet another episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I have to turn this up a little bit because When I was testing this out, I was getting a different result. Am I going to go back and edit this out? Absolutely not. How you guys doing? This is AJ Orsini, as I just said in my intro there, and we are here with another episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. And let me just say right off the let me say here at the beginning, you're not fucking with me, laptop. You can't fuck with my vibe tonight. Not today, sir. Let me start right off by saying I would like to thank everyone for all of the feedback that I got on last week's episode. It got a little real. It got a little real last week, and I wanted to thank everybody for their feedback and letting me know how they felt about the things that I was saying. For the record, not all of it was positive. There were some people who took me to task on a few things, one of which I'm going to correct tonight. That's right. I'm going to correct the mistake that I made last week here tonight. Of course, I am bequeathing on to all of you episode 94 here. And I would like to begin this episode by stating one thing and correcting another. Stating by saying this episode will not nearly be as serious as last week's. We're going to have some fun with this one. And the correction will be, I was so hyped up on talking about as many topics as I could last week. And getting in all of my stuff at the end there. You know, I'm like a greenhorn. I just stepped in the ring for the first time. I was just so determined to get all my shit in that I skipped a very important spot in the matchup. And that spot, of course, being a personal story that I wanted to share with you guys that I did not. I teased it in the beginning, and I was taken to task because I completely forgot about it as the show went on. Like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like it's just one thing compounds over to the next and you just keep going forward, and you start getting momentum. And, of course, that big crescendo at the end, I hit my big finish at the end of the episode here, but I forgot a very timely and important spot that was supposed to take place earlier in that episode. And that topic was my trip to Impact, because like I said last week, I got a lot of messages and I got a lot of questions from people about why I was there, what was my purpose being there, did anything good happen during the trip there, yada, 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 a lot of questions. And I teased it last week. I said, yeah, we're going to get into that. as part of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, and I never brought it up again. I completely forgot about it. Because, again, I have a list. I don't have a list tonight. I had a big fucking list last week, and I was just bullet pointing. I was just going through them, and I guess because I had mentioned it, I don't know. I guess I overlooked it again. I didn't go back to it. I don't know. There was something with the order in which I did things that kind of messed things up. So I'm going to get into it here tonight. I'm going to answer all of those questions here. They're actually very simple questions. It won't take very long to answer. And then we can get into all the other shit that we're going to talk about here going on with this episode. But as we continue on with our show, I just want to let everybody know that Podbean, ajoum.podbean.com, is where you can catch all of the episodes Wednesday, 9 p.m. Again, the Wednesday has been the day. Wednesday at 9 p.m. has been the day and the time slot from the very, very, very beginning of this show. And I'm going to once again, because I think I mentioned this way early in the show as to what's so important about Wednesdays. And I'm going to bring it all up when I start talking about Impact. But Wednesdays at 9 p.m., ajoum.podbean.com is where you can catch all of the episodes. If you cannot get onto Podbean, either through the app or through the website, Googling is the fastest way. I'm on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, iTunes. I'm on everything. All you got to do is head over to Google or CD's Uncensored Mind. You're going to see multiple links to all the different ways in which you can listen to the show. Personally, the Podbean thing, if you listen through Podbean, here's the thing. I've mentioned my downloads before to people where I'm like, oh, I'm at 1,000, I'm at 2,000, I'm officially like at like 3,300 or something like that now. If you listen on Podbean, it affects that number. If you listen through any other outlet, it doesn't really hit Podbean either immediately or at all, to be honest with you. Because I've had people tell me, well, I've listened to all your episodes through, let's say, like iTunes. But then iTunes will only give me all the credit for you listening on iTunes. So I don't get all of the numbers, apparently, from when it's being listened to on other streams. I don't care. I'm not doing this for the numbers. I'm doing this for fun. I can tell the people who are listening to the show and who aren't. So I thank you for taking the time to even looking for it. I thank you for even taking the time to download it. And more importantly, I thank you for taking the time to even listening to it. So if you can't get it through Podbean, head over to one of those web pages or apps, and you're able to listen to the show through those as well. I'd like to remind everybody again also, because I got a message about this literally this morning. The t-shirt, the Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt. I have the official t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. It's prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM, and you can go there and you can get the t-shirt. Now, the t-shirt that we have for sale there is a straight-up gray with the logo. Somebody was asking me, I thought recently you had like a blue or like a gray or something. Like, I had other colors. I still have the option to get those. I haven't reprinted them recently because people have just... I guess Pro Wrestling Tees was just easier than doing it the way that I was doing it before. So Pro Wrestling Tees has been the way that most people have done it. So if you want to do Pro Wrestling Tees, you can get the tee. It's a great tee on their site. If you want a different color or if you want a female cut, which I've been asked for, and I do have. So if you want a female cut, also multiple colors, or if you just want a different color shirt other than the light gray that's available on Pro Wrestling Tees, you can send me a message. I will give you the details there and how we can go about doing that. I can send it to you. There's a lot of different ways we can do this. So just, you can either go to the website, prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM, or you can message me directly and we'll work all that out. So that's the t-shirt. That's the different ways you can listen to the show. Now on to the fucking subject matter here that we must be discussing here. Like I said, last week was very, very, we'll say, serious. It got serious. I tried to ease into the seriousness, but it's very hard to just ease into that shit that we were talking about. And it was one of my longer episodes. It was almost, was it 90 minutes? I want to say that it was 90 minutes, which is long for, it was 96 minutes. Long for me for just doing like an episode by myself. Usually 90 minutes is an interview or a round table or something like that. So that was a little bit long even for me. We will not be going nearly as long tonight. For two reasons. A, I'm blown up already as it is on subjects. And B, I just don't feel like talking that fucking long tonight because I got shit to do in the AM. I am recording this here Tuesday evening. And my wife's not feeling well. My son's being a pain in the ass. So I ain't going to have time to be dabbling too much into this shit tonight. But I am on the microphone. I am here to discuss some pro wrestling and some other shit as well. So let's get into all of that. First things first, before I forget yet again, because I don't want that to happen. Okay, I don't want to forget again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go right into it. I'm not going to save it for later. We're going to get into this right away. So Impact Wrestling was live in Queens, New York, the Melrose Ballroom, June the 6th and June the 7th, which is a Thursday and a Friday. They were consecutive TV tapings, and I happened to be at the Friday show, which was June 7th. I should do Thursday, so I did not go Thursday. But I was at the June 7th show. I did go to the Impact taping then, and I got to see some old friends. I got to meet some new ones. So a lot of the messages that I got, or a lot of the comment questions that I got, because I at first it was from a status that I wrote, and then I took a picture while I was at the show. And, yeah, apparently I got some attention. So I'm going to – I said it already – on the status, a lot of people, I guess, either didn't see the status or just refused to believe it. I don't really know how that works. But, yeah, so me going to Impact was literally just me going to Impact. I was not asked to be at Impact by anybody from management. I was not there for a tryout. I was not there to interview for anything. I was there because, like I said online, I haven't been able to go to a show in a long time. LAX is two guys that I am really close to, and I have not had a chance to support them during their time in New York. Every time, as a matter of fact, every time that they've been a part of TNA, or excuse me, Impact Wrestling, ever since they've been a part of Impact Wrestling and they've been to New York, I haven't had a chance to make any of the shows. This time around, I said, fuck it, I'm going to at least one of them, and I ended up going to the Friday show. And of course, I go. And they're busy, so I didn't get a chance to see them before. I got a chance to talk to them a little bit during, and we got to hang out after. But that was it. There was no meeting. I was not there to interview for anything. Nothing. I went to a show literally just to take in a show, see my friends, and see a few old faces. Because I haven't been to – you know, you guys got to remember, for 7 or 8 years, I went hard. In this industry, I was meeting a lot of people, and I was just trying to be a player here in New York and in the indie scene. And I'm happy to say that, for the most part, I really haven't been that forgotten by people, at least on the inside. Like people that I've worked with in the past, there were a lot of familiar faces there that night. I had a hell of a time. You could tell you're having fun when I only had one drink. My wife was very concerned. She was like, he hasn't been to a wrestling show in forever. He's alone because my wife didn't go. He's probably going to blow the credit card up. And I did not. I didn't even use credit card once, actually. I paid cash for my one beverage. My drink of choice, Duars on the Rocks, a little scotch. And I nursed that for about 30, 40 minutes into the show. And I got so wrapped up in the conversation and just talking and watching the matches and taking in the ambiance and everything, and I didn't need another drink, which is a big thing for me, because I'm a drinker, or at least I used to be. I can't even use that title anymore of a drinker. I don't think I'm much of a drinker anymore. I've betrayed the culture, because I really haven't drank that much in a long time. I just had a drink, what was it, yesterday? I had one drink again. It was like yesterday. I haven't had a drink since Impact. June 7th, and yesterday was June 17th. So it was approximately 10 days before my next drink, and I only had one, and this one was a mix. At least at Impact, I had a straight-up scotch and rocks. This one was a scotch and soda, so I guess I'm losing my tolerance here. I'm bitching out. With age, I'm becoming less and less of a rebel here, I guess you could say. But it was a good time at the show. I'm so happy that I went. I got to see all these people, and one of the bonuses, this is a huge bonus for me, I didn't anticipate this, I wasn't even looking for it, but I got a lot of people, you know, that were either fan or worker in the company that was congratulating me on the show. They had heard the show, that they enjoy the show. I don't know if they frequently listen or if they're just complimenting me on the one fucking thing they may have heard, which is fine. I don't really care. I just appreciate the fact that they took the time to thank me, or not thank me, to congratulate me on the success of the show and all this stuff and stuff. So I'm super appreciative of that. That's huge. That's big for me. It means a lot to me because a lot of these guys know me personally and professionally, and for them to be in such support of something that I'm doing on my own, it was nice. It really was nice. It was a breath of fresh air. And I felt, I don't want to say I felt special, but I got a little emotional toward the end because there was one person in particular, and they asked me literally not to say their name, but someone that has known me literally since I began my wrestling career, who apparently listens to the show as often as possible, and they keep telling me all the time. They said, "Listen, you talk on that show like you used to talk back in the locker room, and it's good to hear your voice every now and then because I don't get to see you around locker rooms anymore." Which made me happy to hear it because it is a compliment, but also sad because I haven't been in locker rooms in a long time. And for the record, I was not in the Impact Wrestling locker room. I got to stick around, and let me explain how that happened because Ortiz thinks that this is the funniest thing in the world. So I guess a lot of the confusion in the building about my appearance there must have been about the fact that I came to the show in a suit. I wore a full suit with a tie, my traditional hat, the whole shebang. I came dressed like I was going to work. And I had no intentions of working. I didn't know, you know, I didn't have any information about me doing anything. I just came dressed in the suit. And Ortiz laughed his ass off quite heartily, actually, about that fact. Because he was just like, "What are you doing here in a suit?" and the whole deal and all that stuff. And I told him straight up, because remember, folks, I paid a ticket to be here, which he took me to task for because we're friends. And he's like, "Look, listen, the least I can do is get you a fucking ticket and do a show." And like I said online, I'm not here for handouts or freebies. So I bought a ticket. And when I bought a ticket, not only did I buy a ticket, I still showed up in the suit. And he said, "If you're going to buy the ticket, you're going to come in as a fan. What the fuck is the point of the suit?" And I told him the same thing I tell everyone on this show all the time. This was me putting my money where my mouth is. And the tradition of it is wrestlers always bring their gear. Now, I'm not a wrestler anymore. When last I left this industry, I was on-air talent, a commentator, an interviewer, or whatever the case may be. And you're trained very early in your career. Always be ready because you never know. Always be ready. Always, always, always be ready. When I made the conscious decision to join the pro wrestling business, I left away all that fan shit. And to me, and my wife made it a good point too, because she was not only in agreement with this mentality, but she was helping me with the outfit like she always used to do back in the day. We were back in my mind, and in her mind, we were in work mode. You know, the hat, make sure the tie works and make sure it's the outfit is TV friendly and all that stuff. We got back into work mode, and I knew going in that I wasn't going to work, but you come prepared. And that's I tell people all the time, that's the difference between a professional who is a professional and a fan who's pretending to be professional. Could I have walked into the Impact taping with a wrestling shirt on and a hat and a pair of sneakers and some comfortable shorts? I could have. And some people expected me to. But I'm the host of a show that's been downloaded in 22 countries, several thousand downloads. I'm a former professional wrestler and former professional on-air talent for pro wrestling events. I don't have the option, in my mind anyway, to come casual as fuck. I should not be dressed the same that everyone else is dressed. That's my mentality. That's how I handle it. And I'm not advocating anyone else do anything that they're not comfortable with. But me, I'm very comfortable with that. That's how I was brought up in this industry. I have respect for my profession. And so that's how I dressed. Did I do anything at Impact? No. Did I have any intention of doing anything at Impact? No. Was I asked to come dressed in case they at? No. I bought a ticket. I bought a drink. I spoke to fans all night. And I got to hang out with some Impact people after the fact. And I got to hang out with my friends after the fact. And I went home. And that was my night. But I tell people all the time, because they think I'm full of shit, when I say that people should be dressed to go to the Hall of Fame, when I say people should be dressed when they attend events, they think I'm full of shit. I'm not full of shit. I put my money where my mouth is. I came dressed to impress. That's it. And it just so happens, the moment of the evening, I want to say it was like a three and a half hour night. Hour two. Based on where I was, I bought a ticket for a particular seat, but to be honest with you, I bought a ticket just to get into the building. I knew I was going to move around. But I ended up finding a perfect seat with a perfect view near the bar, near the merch stand, right behind Hard Cam. I mean, it was the perfect seat, and I refused to move at least from that area because I didn't want to lose my fucking seat. And the whole time I'm there, there are a lot of people moving around in that area. I was I'm not in the locker room, but definitely near production. And there was a lot of moving parts. Tommy Dreamer walking by, D'Lo Brown walking by. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. And a few of the people that were there, that were present and moving around and meeting people and shaking hands, were from Anthem. And they stood next to me for quite a while for that second hour. And I could not be happier that I was in that suit. Because the longer I stood next to them in the suit, the longer I think people started to get really confused as to who I was. Because who comes to the wrestling show in a suit, right? So normally for these wrestling events, especially for like TV products and stuff like that, when the show is over, it's time to get out. And at the end of that show, I remember Ortiz telling me, listen, normally they would leave early, but we're in New York. We're doing the VIP. We're the VIP guests for the end of the show. So we're sticking around to the end of the show. And then we're going to, you know, get together and hang out, which is cool. Fine. But unless you're a VIP, you shouldn't be in the building, which was, you know, end of the show. And the VIP goes to a certain section and then that's it. And I'm in a full suit. I'm on my phone. I'm emailing. I look busy. Even though this wasn't my intention, I look like I'm fucking working there, that I'm making moves, I'm moving and shaking here. And they didn't say a fucking thing to me the entire time that they were emptying the building out, setting up the VIP. When they went through the VIP, meaning all the people who had paid to be VIP, had gotten their photos and everything and then left, I was still standing there and no one said a fucking word to me. So the whole VIP thing is over. All the fans are gone. LAX goes to the back to make sure all the fans leave. And then LAX comes back out. We're hanging. And no lie, one of the security guards walks over. Because I guess me and Ortiz were talking like real casual, I guess. And one of the security guys asked me, do you work here? I was like, no, but I'm here because, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm name dropping. And of course, he gives a thumbs up, and the security dude laughed, and he goes, I seriously thought you worked here. It's the only reason no one said anything to you, because you look like you work here. And I was like, perfect. This was awesome. That's the second time in that night that wearing the suit paid off for me. Sitting next to the guys in Anthem and not having to move. I wondered after the fact, did the people from Anthem think that I work there too? Apparently, folks, all you need to do is look busy wearing a suit, and people will just assume that you're a big shot. That's basically what that comes down to. But I had a fun time over there. It was good. It was a good deal. And I look forward to attending more events in the future. I have July 14th coming up. Game Changer Wrestling, again, not working. I'm there to support my boy Homicide, my man D. 25 years in the industry recently celebrated, so I'm sure they've got some cool and unprecedented shit in store for him. I'm looking forward to that. So all straight up dopeness. Let's get into some other wrestling stuff besides my own personal shit. Just real quick, I wanted to get into something that's really upsetting me. And it's not going to be a negative talk. It's just really upsetting me. But I'm going to take this upsetness and spin it into something positive. You feel what I'm saying? I told you guys last week we weren't going to do any stomping ground conversation because it's just dumb, pointless, and I'm just not going down that road. It's a ridiculous pay-per-view. It looks like a ridiculous pay-per-view. It's just seemingly a waste of everyone's time. So I'm not going down that road. But there is something WWE I would like to discuss, and it's the 24/7 championship. Now, R-Truth is doing an amazing job. I said when I first talked about this that I was going to give it time to develop just to see how this is going to go. And I had made mention on the show that the reason why the hardcore 24/7 thing worked pretty okay in the beginning was because it was a hardcore 24/7. Okay? One move and a pin, right? That's what it was on paper, but the one move is devastating. A frying pan, a chair shot, a kendo stick, whatever, a broken bottle. You hit somebody once with that, you can roll them up, you can pin them. That's a believable situation. I'm not going to argue with you. With no hardcore to this 24/7, it's going to look awfully ridiculous to just surprise someone and roll them up and pin them 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the street. It's just weird and awkward. But I said, you know what? We'll just play it off and see how this goes and see how this develops. Because the one great thing about this is its unpredictability, right? That's the one thing about this that, you know, it just might be creative enough to be entertaining. And I will say, so far, to me anyway, it has been. But I do have one problem with the WWE 24/7 problem. It involves someone. I think you know where this is going. If you're a longtime fan of this show, I think you know where this is going. Yeah. Yes. Now, hold on a second. In the beginning of this show, not this episode, but just the beginning of this tenure of this show that I've had here, I went very heavy on the Jinder Mahal stuff, okay? And I slowly but surely I let it go because, you know, even to me, I felt like that horse was already dead. It was we were done beating it. We were done beating that horse, okay? But I got a bone to pick with the WWE on this because of all the people, you have so many guys on this roster that could use the exposure of a WWE 24/7 championship title run or feud or whatever the case may be. But the fact that you want me to believe that any one of these random guys can just, not even random, Truth, pinning Jinder Mahal on his airplane seat, getting to 1, 2, 3, who survives a plane ride with a championship belt like that? How does that even happen? You pin Jinder Mahal in his airplane seat. He's a former world champion. This is the same champion that AJ Styles had problems with. Shinsuke Nakamura had problems with competing one-on-one with. This is a guy who pinned Randy Orton for the world, for the WWE Championship. And you got him being pinned in his airplane seat to R-Truth. Now, again, I love the creativity of this championship, and I love where they're going with it, but you got to pick your poison here, man. You got more than enough guys that I can see losing to a gust of wind or a kite to the eye or some ridiculous shit. Like he was chewing on gator jerky, and it got lodged in his throat, and they went for a Heimlich, and he spits it out, and all of a sudden that Heimlich turns into a suplex with a bridge, and he beats him 24/7. I can see stupid shit like that happening to random people. But can it not happen to a former WWE champion? And a guy, by the way, who should still be in the main event scene. How many fucking heels do we really have that generate that kind of heat? Except for the ones that apparently no one wants, like a Baron Corbin or a Shane McMahon. Nobody wants those guys as heels anymore. You would think after that kind of experiment, we'd feel a little better about maybe considering putting Jinder Mahal back in that top spot, baby. Because that's what he is. He's Jinder Mahal. Don't you understand that? Jinder Mahal, a former WWE champion. Yes, I know he used to be a jobber. Used to be back in the day. But that's not the case anymore now, is it? No, not at all. We need the real McCoy. You understand? We need a real heel at the top of the card, and that is your guy. He should not be messing around with the 24/7 championship. He needs to be competing. What brand is he on again? It doesn't matter. Wild card rule. He can fight for any belt that he wants. That's hilarious, by the way, the wild card rule. That to me is ridiculous. It's getting worse. I don't mean to segue off into some other topic, but it's getting completely fucking worse. Can we roll back? Actually, you know what? Can I take a quick minute? I'm upset with myself that I didn't already link it, because I normally try to get these clips in order before the show goes on, but I didn't really think I was going to use this. I was clipping it for something else. But since we're talking about the WWE right now, this is actually a really good time, I think, to really bring this up. There he goes. No, this is that Baron Corbin thing, and then Sammy will skip ahead. Trying to get to Kevin Owens here. There we go.
I've got his back. I have his back through and through. You know what else I have his back on? Is I agree with him when he says Baron Corbin would be a better Universal Champion than you. But what I don't agree with is the way you are talking to my friend here.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Sammy.
Knuckleheads.
Look, you three morons are melting my brain. Kevin, you don't like what I'm saying? Why don't you come down here and do something about it?
Yeah, Kevin.
You know what? Since I'm here as a wild card, whatever that means anyway, maybe I'll take you up on your offer, and I will do something about it.
Oh, that's the part right there.
Take you up on your offer.
No, the other part.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
You know what? Since I'm here as a wild card, whatever that means. You know what? Since I'm here as a wild
play again.
Card, whatever that means. You know what? Since I'm here as a wild card, whatever that means. Anyway.
Whatever that means. The fucking talent hates this stupid shit. Since I'm here as a wild card, whatever the hell that means, there's nothing more that you can say. Any podcaster, any person trying to put out any kind of news or whatever their opinions and thoughts are on the wild card situation in WWE, no need, folks. Just step aside, because Honest Kev is going to give you all the dose you need right there. That's it. That's all you need to hear about the wild card. Well, whatever that means, exactly. Whatever that means. I gave the WWE 24/7 championship a chance to blossom, and it has. I'm glad about that. I was on board with the Firefly Funhouse from day one. And if anything, just to keep an open mind, because it couldn't be worse, right? That's the idea. It could not have been worse. That was the whole deal. Yeah, you know, it's odd. I'll give him that. But it can't be worse, right? So yeah, we gave the Firefly Funhouse a little bit of a chance. Or at least I did, right? Everything's been panning out. I don't have a problem with this. I don't have a problem with that. Boombox Brock. You know, I'm just letting things go here and there. I'm making concessions. But I draw the line at two things. Jinder Mahal losing continuously for that championship. And this fucking wild card. What a fucking joke. The wild card is ridiculous. It's dumb. And as many times as I defend the WWE, because I guess it's ingrained in my blood to do so, I can't defend any of that garbage. I just can't do it. I cannot do it. There's some other news coming around here in the pro wrestling world that has jack shit to do with the WWE. That's about as deep in the WWE as we're going to get, because to be honest with you, I'm not in the mood to discuss anything about the WWE at this point. Until the WWE gives me something that I really want to fucking talk about, then I'm pretty much done with it. I'm absolving myself of it, to be honest with you. I'm absolving myself of the WWE for a while, because there's a lot of stuff irking me, and normally it wouldn't. Seth Rollins, the badass with a fucking steel chair. You know? That's it. That's the only way he could be a badass, is with a steel chair. His curb stomp ain't worth shit, apparently. You know, he's one of those athletes. He's an athlete. Right? He's an athlete. He's a great athlete. He can come in the ring and perform all these spectacular maneuvers. And all that in the what's-its. So we need a badass now. So we just gave him a fucking steel chair for him to be a badass with. Apparently. because apparently that is literally the only way he can be taken seriously. Just like when we got to WrestleMania, you know, it's not believable that Seth Rollins can genuinely beat Brock Lesnar. The only way we can really do that is if he punches him in the dick, which is what he did. He punched him in the dick, and then later on he beat him with a bunch of fucking steel chairs. And that's the only way that he can beat him, because apparently Brock, with no weapon, is far more dangerous than any man with a weapon, except for maybe Seth Rollins on a good day, which is what we're leading to here. So Seth Rollins, the badass. Taker Goldberg, which is what everybody talks about, is Taker Goldberg. I finally sat down, because Taker Goldberg I did watch, because everybody was talking about it. So I figured I want to be up to date. Let me check out Taker and Goldberg. And I never actually sat down and watched the fucking show. Come to find out, I'm watching the fucking show. And Lashley and Strowman had a fucking sleeper. And I don't mean sleeper as in boring people with sleep. I mean a sleeper of a show stealer here. Two big, ginormous guys, athletic as fuck in their prime, going toe-to-toe in a very modern-day big man matchup. This is the big man matchup of the 2020s coming up. Both of these guys, freak athletes, super strong, built like hosses, that can fucking go. What a great match those two guys had in apparently the depths of hell, because they kept telling you throughout the whole fucking show, yeah, it's 90 degrees outside, you know, temperature-wise, but the feel is 100 degrees. You know, Triple H is like, it's like wrestling in a sauna. You know, it's so hot. Can't get the air in you because it's so fucking hot. It's Saudi Arabia, you fucking cockbites. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? What did you think we were going to get some of that sweet Saudi breeze? You were going to get a fucking breeze in Jeddah. And I'm done with the word Jeddah, by the way. I don't need to know any more about that fucking area than the fact that it's Jeddah. We get it. I am of the understanding that you're in Jeddah. Jesus fucking Christ. You know, all these different things taking place. Shane McMahon is apparently the greatest. He truly is the best in the world at this point. He truly is the best in the world. There's nobody better than fucking Shane McMahon. There's no one better. No one better in the world. He's got all the right people. The Revival kicking around. He's got Drew McIntyre watching his back. The guy's a machine. And it's funny because he's walking around with Drew in the Revival, and then like Elias every now and then. He's like a you know, he's got the varsity team, and then Elias is on the JV squad. So there goes that. Yeah, the WWE has me pissed off. So between the rest of this show and probably even into next week, I'm done. I'm gonna give that a little bit of a break here. And I'm actually going to go back to Impact Wrestling for just a second, because there's a particular somebody I've got to talk about. All right, I told you my experiences about Impact Wrestling when I went. Let me tell you a little something about the show that I saw. Okay, just a little bit about the stuff that I saw, because I do keep up with Impact every now and then. I'll catch it. You know, I just found out recently. It's so funny because everyone knows here that I moved. I moved way back Christmas. I moved into a different neighborhood, and I don't have the same cable network. I have Spectrum here, and for whatever reason, Spectrum doesn't have the Pursuit channel, so I don't have access to Impact on my DVR anymore. But I did find out that I have World of Sports over in the UK, and I've got Ring of Honor television. So on my DVR right now, it's World of Sports, Ring of Honor, Raw, SmackDown, and I'm going to be looking for more because, from what I understand, AAA's on there somewhere. There's a New Japan show that I've got to find. Again, I've never really had a chance to really pay attention to the on-demand services and stuff. So if I can get a regularly scheduled feeding here of different wrestling, I'm going to be using that on my show for sure, because it's definitely going to be a lot of good stuff to be talking about. I got a chance to see last week's World of Sports. I am super excited to watch more of that. That's good. You know, and we want to talk about I am going to get on the Impact thing in just a second, but now that I'm thinking about it, let's talk about this for a quick minute. The access to pro wrestling right now is through the roof. I just told you I've got access to World of Sports here. I got access to World of Sports. I've got access to Ring of Honor. I've got access to two WWE shows. Obviously, I have the WWE Network. Obviously, the streaming services are through the roof. There's a New Japan television show on, I believe it's AXS. I have to look it up. But they have a streaming service. Powerbomb TV is something that I just subscribed to recently. It's got Chikara. It's got Beyond. It's got a whole litany of other promotions, all independent for the most part. Access to pro wrestling now is through the roof. I've got three tabs in front of me, MLW, Ring of Honor, and in Impact Wrestling. Obviously, you guys know the WWE schedule that's coming up. I'm going to give you something about that for events coming up later on in the show. Actually, toward the end, as I wrap up, I'm going to be giving you guys a bunch of dates and shit to look after. But the access to pro wrestling right now is unprecedented. I'm getting the type of wrestling I'm getting right now. I just mentioned the UK show, World of Sports. There's AAA on my fucking DVR. There's Ring of Honor on my fucking DVR. There's all very... AEW was coming to my DVR starting in October. There is so much access to pro wrestling right now. You would think that people would be a lot happier about the types of pro wrestling that they're getting. And I just think people spend more time bitching about the WWE than focusing on the wrestling that they do want to focus on. And I think, personally, that I am making as great a sin as everyone else. Just like I did when I wore the suit, I have to start putting my money where my mouth is. So I'm making the effort. I'm going to be putting these shows on DVR, and I'm going to be watching them, and I'm going to be talking about them on here. I won't be reviewing or critiquing like I said before. That's not what this show is for. But I could definitely tell you guys exactly what's going on. I could tell you guys exactly what to look for. And I could definitely tell you the good and the bad and some of the things that's going on some of these shows. And just kind of keep you abreast of the wrestling scene. I think that's the thing that I'm really interested in. I mentioned before in the show that I would love to do more indie shit, but it's hard to keep track of the indie shit because not everybody has access to the materials and to the videos. Not true anymore. There's a lot of companies out there that still that have, you know, that give you access to all these different things, and I think it's about time that I start utilizing that, and I fully intend to moving forward. I'm super excited about the opportunity to be doing this. So let's go back to Impact for just a second, and I wanted to talk about two important parts of Impact. I got a chance to watch some of the matches. They're really, really good. And what are the things that stuck out? This is not one of the two things. One of the things that stuck out to me was how many people in the audience really followed the product. Because I don't get to meet a lot of people that follow Impact like that. Impact Wrestling does not exactly have this huge, unrelenting following. It just doesn't. And it's a shame, to be honest with you, because at one point it did. You know, there was a point, guys, I know this is going to sound crazy, where the WWE used to get littered and bombarded with TNA chants throughout their show. TNA, TNA. There used to be times where people would actually genuinely prefer TNA over the WWE. Those days are long gone. But when I'm sitting here watching this show, I have to be honest with you, I didn't think it was that bad of a show. It was actually really good. I actually enjoyed it a lot. The problem is there's no real buzz around any of it. There's nothing really going on. Like, it's a good wrestling show. You know, it's a good wrestling show. I had a blast watching it. If you get a chance to go to Impact Wrestling in your local area, and I'm going to give you the next three big shows they've got coming up, which, for the record, are all in Texas. So if you're going to be in the Texas area, July 5th, July 6th, and July 7th, which is a big weekend, obviously, then you're going to get a chance to see some really cool shit. But I was really surprised by some of the people that they follow it, they were with it, they knew exactly what was happening and what was going on the program. It was extremely refreshing to see, to be around wrestling fans that just knew what was happening, knew what was going on, and was more than willing to help other people keep up and keep track. Having said that, two things about this show really stuck out to me. Rosemary, one of the wrestlers from the Knockout division in Impact Wrestling, amazing presence, amazing gimmick, amazing entrance. Her song is great. Her entrance, the way that she does her whole deal, she just has money written all over her. I'm late to the party, apparently. I said it to a few people after the end of the show, and people were looking at me like I had fucking, like I had two fucking heads. But I really mean what I say, and I say what I mean. And that shit was absolutely through the roof awesome. She is an amazing performer as well. Inside the ring, she brings it just as much as that package would indicate that she could. I instantly, instant fan of Rosemary, almost immediately. Soon as I saw that entrance. And then the fact that she was able to go, that shit was like a bonus. But the entrance, everything was fucking dope. The second, I really forgot, and maybe that's my fault, but I really forgot just how awesome Sami Callihan really is. You heard at the beginning of this episode the little soundbite from TMZ with Sami Callihan had this nuclear heat coming to him when he accidentally hit Eddie Edwards in the eye with the baseball bat. That was where his response is. You can hear in the tone of his voice, if you go to YouTube and check out the video, you can see it in his eyes. He believes this shit. And I don't mean that shit in a negative way. I don't mean that in a it's real to him, damn it kind of way. I mean, he genuinely means this shit. When he goes out there, he has one fucking purpose. He wants to get over as a real fucking character. He wants his character to be fucking over for real. Meaning, if you fucking hate him, he wants you to fucking hate him. If you love him, he wants you to fucking love him. And I respect this guy so fucking much. He's willing to work with just about anybody. He's willing to put over as many people as possible. This guy is just an amazing performer inside the ring, and he's an amazing fucking promo. I got a chance to see Sammy, I think, about two or three times during that whole taping. He did an explosion thing, and he wrestled him, which was a pretty dope match. Then he did this thing with Tessa Blanchard. I don't know if the episode is aired yet, so I won't give it away. But it was extremely awesome to see. It was extremely easy for him to be hated. He is my fucking spirit animal. This fucking guy, Sami Callihan. Sami Callihan and I have a personal history, and that's not something that I'm sure that's high on his list, but it's high on mine because my first night in the business, first night in, I have to do a promo in the ring, and I've told this story before. I had to do a promo in the ring, and I had to do it against four guys. Gilbert from WWC, Shane Douglas, Homicide, and Sami Callihan. He was in the ring with me. That infamous photo of Sami putting the wrench to my throat, threatening my life. He was extremely good to me when I started. Extremely helpful to me in the beginning because I can talk. But that first night, I'll admit, I had a few jitters. It's my first night. And he was really good to me that night. Talked me through a lot of stuff and just gave me some pointers and some tips and different notes to hit when giving the delivery and all this other stuff. And Homicide did it a few times. Shane used to help me out a lot, and he was just a cool dude. And I remember we bumped into each other again many years later. I'm years into my career now, and we bumped into each other post-NXT when he came back to House of Glory. I got a chance to work with him and call one of his matches. It was a dope time. It was good. He's a good guy to me. I know that a lot of people legit shoot for real fucking hate this guy. I love him. I love him. To me, he's like, he's the fucking man. And I've never really professed that too much here on the show. But I really do. I really believe that in my heart. I believe that he's the right guy for the kind of pro wrestling that I like. I like gritty. I like mean. I like in your face. I like personal issues. I like all that shit. I'm going to be honest with you, and this is going to sound like a dickhead thing, and I apologize if it really comes off like that, but I'm going to give it to you for real because this is uncensored and I can do that. I'm kind of over the whole I'm happy to be here and I'm so happy I'm accomplishing my dream bullshit. I'm kind of over it. I'm done. It was good for a while, but if it becomes the everyday, it's not special when it's 200 people. You know, the first two or three people who did the whole I'm living my dream stuff, you know, when they did it, it was cool, man. But when everyone does it, it's just, it doesn't have the same oomph. It doesn't have the same meaning. You know, I like unique. I like special. I don't like, you know, we needed that at the time when people really started, like, even back way back. Like, think about that. The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels. That was in 96. You know, when it was the boyhood dream. And now it's everyone's boyhood dream. It's everyone, every little girl's dream. You know, Bayley does it. Sasha, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a WWE superstar. Or, you know, I'm just living my dream of being a WWE superstar. I get it. I get it. Because I had that dream. Everyone has that dream when they're fans of the WWE or fans of pro wrestling coming up. I get it. I get it. But I'm done with it. Can we do something else? Can we have a guy just walk up to another guy? You know, like have one guy, like guy A. Oh, it's my dream. And then have guy B come over and just fucking smack him in his fucking face. Can we have some hatred? Can we have some heat? Can we have some personal issues? You know, I'm all in favor of athletic contests. They have their place in this industry, of course. But I love nothing more than two people getting in the ring and just beating the fuck out of each other. I love that shit. Can we get some more of that? Because to be honest with you, it's been a while. Honestly. It's honestly been a while since we've had personal issues run that fucking deep. It just doesn't do that anymore. People just don't take it that far anymore. I don't know if it's because they feel like it'll cut into their merch shit or if they just feel like, I don't know. I don't know what stops a heel from truly being a heel. They don't want to get sued. You know, I don't know what it is. I know for a fact a pure white meat babyface is extremely hard to do in today's day and age because nobody really believes you're that fucking innocent. No one really buys into the idea that you're that pure and you're that good a person. You know, the Roman Reigns is the John Cena is you go out there and you try to play up to this idea that you're some sort of superhero, that you're this guy who fights for values and rights, and people just don't fucking go to that. You know, everybody wants to be a heel now. And the funny thing is the more heel you become, the more cheered you get. That's why I think, like people say, it's hard to be a babyface today. I think it's hard to be a heel, to be honest with you. Because there's a lot of people out there that prefer to be heels because they think it's easy. I'll just go out there and say mean things. But it's not easy. Because if you go out there and be a heel, if you say the same corny bullshit, they won't really react to you in any particular way. They'll just look at you like some goofball relic. And if you go out there and say real heel mean shit, then they're going to fucking cheer for you for some reason. So, yeah, you're kind of killed on both ends. It's a skill. It's a fucking art to get marks, to get smarks anyways. These people who claim to be smart to the business to actually fucking boo you. And Sammy does that. Sammy generates real fucking hate. He'll kick a woman in the face. He'll curse a pregnant woman now. He'll spit on your grandma. He'll do whatever he's got to fucking do. If he has to fuck your mom before the show, just to really get you red hot, he will do that shit. Right up the ass. He won't even have a fucking problem with it. Like he said in the beginning of this thing, I look at my eyes. I don't feel bad. That's him. That's the draw. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So, extremely happy about my trip over there. And definitely those are two really big things that stuck out. Let me get to these dates really quick. Obviously, the WWE schedule is pretty known, even by the haters. The schedule is known. Everyone knows what's happening. Extreme Rules is coming up. Everyone knows that. We're going to get another fucking July pay-per-view, and then we're going to head over to SummerSlam. Everyone fucking knows. So we're done with all that garbage. I got three companies here I'm going to run by you real quick. And as we continue through the next few weeks, this list is going to get even fucking longer. Because the more of these shows that I see, the more into the industry that I get, the more I'll be able to dish out and give you guys information on and kind of give you opinions on and all that stuff, which is the cool part. Let's talk more about this other stuff. This has been a very impact-heavy fucking episode. Let's get into this. I already gave you the dates, July 5th, July 6th, and July 7th. I believe that's a Sunday, Saturday, and then a Friday. So, yeah, that might be it, Friday, for July the 5th. Right after the July 4th, you're going to head over to Bash at the Brewery on Impact. They're going to head over to San Antonio, Texas. All that information, of course, on impactwrestling.com/events. 8 p.m. to 11 is the scheduled time, July 5th, $30. You can head over to Bash at the Brewery. They're going to be at a brewery, wrestling and beer. I'm usually all in favor of that. I have to unpussify myself, though, and get back into drinking. July 6th is a 7 o'clock start time. Do not get that confused. First show is at 8. This one's at 7. It's going to be at Booker T's World Gym Arena. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it's in Texas. It's in Texas City, Texas. I also didn't know Texas City was a thing. But there you go. Texas City, Texas. And it's Deep Impact. They're going to be teaming up with the Stars of Reality of Wrestling, which should be interesting. It's Booker T's company combining with Impact. That should be fun. And, of course, the big pay-per-view July 7th in Dallas, Texas, Slammiversary. What is that, 17? Holy fuck. I didn't realize there were that many fucking Slammiversaries. So, and that's going to be available on pay-per-view, so you'll get a chance to see all that there. I know Ring of Honor's been getting kind of a bad rap lately, and we're going to get more into that in another episode. Hopefully next week we'll be able to get into it, because I got some stuff about Ring of Honor too. But in case you still are one of the few holding on here, June 28th, we're going to do Best in the World pay-per-view in Baltimore, Maryland. You can still get tickets for that. Best in the World TV taping the night after in Philly. Then they're going to head over July 20th. In Manhattan, July 20th in New York here, and just this July 21st, Mass Hysteria in Lowell, Massachusetts. And they're going to do a summer supercard August 9th in Toronto. Those are the big dates. I don't have anything here for live events, but those are the dates coming up here just to keep you guys interested in what's going on over there. MLW has been making the rounds lately with the footage of... Tony Fatu, is it Tony Fatu or Joseph Fatu? It's one of the Fatus smacked the ever-loving crap out of a fan not too long ago. That's what you get for crossing the rail, bitch. Anyway, also happening on July 6th, MLW Kings of Coliseum. It's a Fusion TV taping. It's going to be taking place in Chicago on July 6th and July 25th. Never Say Never. Fusion TV taping back here in the Melrose Ballroom in New York. That is July 25th. I actually might go to that. That might be an interesting time. I like that building, and I have yet to see MLW live. So that should be actually an interesting thing. I'm actually very curious about that. So Kings of Coliseum, July 6th, and of course July 25th back here in New York. A lot of these companies are coming to fucking New York, man. Gotta get my suit pressed. Either that or get a new fucking suit. I'm gonna have to figure that shit out. Anywho, that's everything that's been going on here with this show. More bitching about the WWE, but I'm pretty much done bitching about the WWE. I'm pretty much over the WWE right now, at least for a little while. Give it a little bit of a break. We're gonna get into some other cool shit leading up. Of course, folks, this is episode 94, which means when I click the button here, I'll only have 5 episodes left before I get to episode 100 here. And I'm still in the dark because I've only dabbled into certain things as to what I'm going to do for the 100th. But I do want to do something just extra, man. I want to go the extra mile for this shit. I want to do something fucking awesome for the 100th fucking episode of this show. So I will keep you guys abreast to see how that's going to work its fucking self out. So I will keep you guys updated on that. Until then, thank you for liking, thank you for downloading, thank you for sharing, and of course, thank you for enjoying episode 94.
Welcome to our dirty show. This is Ocean Senses Mine. If you listen to my daddy's show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.